Tall Cat Conley, and you are listening to Tall Cat Psychic 101, everything you ever wanted to know about the paranormal but were afraid to ask. We've got a great show tonight. It's all about the amazing orb phenomena that is sweeping not only the country, but the planet. If time permits, we may open the lines later for callers in the show, but we'll sort of play it by ear and see how that goes. I'd like to say before we get Hope and Randy on the air that once in a great while, a truly unique, out-of-the-box film or book comes along. These so-called, I guess you could call them long-shot, independent creations with their inherent ability to draw attention raise such a level of public curiosity and interest. That simple word-of-mouth buzz causes a substantial shift in large numbers of minds and hearts, and the world has changed. A shift occurred. Following the phenomena of the amazing movie What the Bleep is orbs. The veil is lifting. So I'm delighted tonight. I'm going to introduce you in just a moment to Hope and Randy Mead, the creators and producers of the movie Orbs, The Veil is Lifting. These are two of the most interesting people I've met in a long time. Just being in their presence is healing and joyful because they connect at the heart center. These are the things I found most interesting about Hope and Randy. They've been married for 25 years. That alone is a shocking fact. They raised two children. Randy is a healing musician and composer whose serious talent has been lent to numerous film scores. But what I like about Randy is that he built a whimsical gong garden, it looks like gong suspended on a line between two trees in the woods, combined with sacred sculptures, just for fun. His sacred sculptures, by the way, are made of wires, feathers, crystals, and sticks. And Hope. Hope's sister's name is Faith. Yes, Faith and Hope. Now, she has been a birth coach and a death coach. She lived in a polygamous society in West Africa, met a camel driver in Israel that wanted to trade his camel for her, had a near-death experience and explored sensory deprivation tanks back in the day. They live in a straw bale house that they built themselves in the middle of a huge cedar forest. Now, to view their more serious credentials, or to see a trailer of the film, or to order Randy's healing music, you can log on to toolsfortranscendence.com or orbstheveilislifting.com. Well, it's been said that orbs should be seen and not heard. However, if you have your digital camera ready, orbs could be both seen and heard right now, tonight. I'm a pretty good psychic, and I predict that you will just have to go outside after this show with your digital camera to see if you can capture orbs for yourself. The amazing Tall Cat has spoken. I see orbs in your immediate future. After seeing the movie myself, Orbs, The Veil is Lifting, I actually rushed outside in my pajamas with a coat over me in midwinter snow to see if I could capture some of these amazing spheres of light. By the way, if you wonder what orbs look like, if you haven't seen them before, you could log on now if you wish to at toolsfortranscendence.com or Orbs, The Veil is Lifting, or even Karen Tallcat with a K, Conley.com for orb gallery photos. I'm a third-generation psychic, and I've seen orbs my whole life. I called them balls of light until I attended Rumpus School of Enlightenment, where I saw hundreds of orbs and photos of orb phenomena. I once personally saw the ram hold an orb in the palm of his hand and converse with it. After Hope and Randy's film, I learned it is not only possible to see them, but to just see them, but to connect and communicate with them, you know, like Rompa did. And since viewing the movie, I film orbs now, this is new, they often fly around my body and even land on me occasionally. This is an amazingly high, giddy vibration that feels so balancing and healing. And I often think, I believe this is the way life is meant to feel. Just so you know, all of these experiences happened in my own backyard. That's right. No need to fast for 40 days, be a mystic or even a psychic, or go to a mountaintop in Tibet to find orbs. The last time Hope and Randy were on the show, I received wonderful emails afterwards with lots of first-time attempts to photograph orbs. And all of the photos contained, it was amazing, they all contained large, massive numbers, even showers of orbs. There isn't anything quite as exciting as seeing someone find out the orb phenomena is real. And viewers always report beautiful orb shots after seeing this movie. Even skeptical viewers. It seems the movie itself opens the way and invites the orbs. You could say orbs, the veil is lifting, actual orbs included, if you wanted to. One of the most surprising things about orbs, the veil is lifting, is its ability to energetically uplift the viewer. Now, we're going to go on to discuss the movie with Hope and Randy, but first I want to just touch on for a moment Randy's unique music. The music you heard as we were going into the show is Randy's CD called Ascending Spirals. He has wonderful CDs. You cannot get a bad CD from Randy. The name of the CD I told you is sorry, Hidden World, and it is part of the soundtrack from Orbs the Veil is Lifting. This CD is absolutely proven to align chakras, and there's a certain way that Randy does this. I did a little bit of homework on music today because I'm not a musician, and anyone that knows me knows I can't carry a tune. And I was surprised to learn that there is more to music than the sounds produced by instruments or voices. There is something called the music of the spheres, which is described in my references as perfectly harmonious music, inaudible on Earth, thought by, hope I say his name right, Pythagoras, to be produced by the movement of celestial bodies, creating an ocean of harmony. The connection between geometry and music, I read today, is called universal music. Neat, huh? Also, new toys and instruments are being explored that could create music manifested visually. Geometry can be manifested in sound in previously unimagined ways. Randy's music, like the orbs, is a piece of the dimensional shift. Orbs, a new way of seeing, music, a new way of hearing. So welcome, Hope and Randy. So great to have you both here tonight.
Well, it's great to be with you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, Randy, since we were talking about your music a little bit, I know you can explain Ascending Spirals better than me. So go for it.
In Ascending Spiral, I'd use, there's a meditation in each of the 12 keys, instead of being in what's called equal temperament, each of the pieces are done in what's called just tuning, or it's like a geometric tuning. The intervals have perfect relationships to each other. And so it varies what, it creates a potential palette of not 12 tones, but 144 tones, because all of the perfect intervals to go with each tone are subtly different.
I can tell you that I've listened to the CD in its entirety, and it is amazing. You know, there's a lot of healing CDs available, but Randy's just has something to it that is honestly and truly unique. And there's something else I understand. Hope told me the other day there's a little something you're into with tuning forks, right?
Oh, yes. Now, that's not on this CD, but the next project is going to involve, exactly relates to what you were saying, because there was a Swiss mathematician who basically took the orbits of the planets and calculated if you raised that frequency up, what musical pitches it would be. And so we just recently got a set of these tuning forks, and each fork is tuned to the audible frequency of one of the planets, of the sun, the earth day, earth year, moon, and the different planets. And,
oh my! That's amazing.
Isn't it? And I like the idea of it, but I've got to say, when we got the forks, I was just amazed. And there is a whole art form called acutonics, where they place these particular types of forks on the different acupuncture points. And we've been experimenting with that. It is amazing how much energy moves through the body because from these tuning forks being placed, or even just put in your energy field. And you really, really feel, like I said, I'm open-minded but also skeptical. So I thought, well, this is a great idea, but I wonder if there's really a resonance here. But gosh, when we got the forks, I couldn't believe it. The qualities of the different planets, these astrological qualities, you just feel that vibration so strongly when you use the appropriate fork.
Well, Randy, your knowledge of music and your training is really extensive. So for you to be interested in tuning forks, I just find that so cool that you... How did you discover the idea of tuning forks?
Well, a lot of people are working with tuning forks. There's a number of different systems. There's people use just our conventional pitches that we tune pianos to, therapeutically, like on the acupuncture meridians. People use a sacred solfege that's based on numerology and a medieval scales. They use all kinds of different intervals, and people get good results with all of them. So I've been fascinated with this for a long time. We decided to just take the plunge and start working with it. You can, of course, just do it by calculating the frequency or using a strobe tuner, but it's so great therapeutically to have a tuning fork that the person can put on their own body and really activate the vibration in their body.
I've actually experienced a little bit with tuning forks. I had a healer work on an uncomfortable knee that I had once with a tuning fork, and for a while I used a tuning fork for my clients when they came to me for readings. I just put the vibration of the particular fork I had on their sternum, where the bone is prominent. And not knowing that much about it, except sort of actually experimenting with it, really. And
yeah.
When I did, I noticed that people would come in with their shoulders up around their ears, from driving to the appointment. And when I used the tuning fork, they immediately, their shoulders went down, their bodies relaxed.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So I know
experience.
a little bit of experience, there's something there.
Yeah, tissue sometimes just, tense tissue just sort of melts under the tuning fork. It's really quite remarkable.
I know you must be having fun with that.
Oh yeah, we're having fun.
Are you going to play some of the forks on the CD, Hope?
Actually, what's happening is Randy is using the different tuning forks and creating sort of a drone. And so, in the next album he does or CD, each of the pieces will be according to the different tones.
One of the celestial bodies.
These are actually the music of the spheres. The way you introduced it, that's that particular tuning forks that Randy has.
Well, the music of the spheres, I'm so uninformed, so I hesitate to say much about it, but I did my little bit of research, and I have heard of this before. And, our teacher, Ramtha, my husband and I go to that school, and Ram has often said that this plane on the visible light spectrum is the only one where the music of light is not audible. I found that so fascinating.
Very fascinating, yeah.
The fact that sound is, connected to mathematics and geometry and to healing and to planets. And I read today that there's actually a type of music called, I think they call it human music or humanistic music or something, and it has to do with they described it as the sound within our bodies, the sound within us. Our internal self.
Mm-hmm.
So, I really think, Randy, your healing music and your CDs is on the cutting edge, right up there along with, like we were saying, orbs is a new way of seeing. This music is a new way of hearing and healing.
I agree totally. Karen, I've been doing body work for over 30 years and working on the energy system of the body as well as the physical body. And Ascending Spiral, the piece you were playing when the radio show started, is the music that I've waited for all the 25 years for Randy to do, because it's so healing, and because when you were introducing it, it has scalar waves on it, and it's the scalar waves that we have a machine that puts scalar waves on media, and it's the scalar waves that actually send, you know, balance the chakras and send you the white light, and that's it's through the scalar waves that you're getting information on the etheric level. So that when I'm using it, not only is my client getting a session, a therapeutic session by me, but I'm getting a session by just listening to the music. Or if
wonderful.
Right. And if you just play it, you know, like even in an office, even at a very low volume where it's barely audible, because of the scalar waves, you're actually sending out that energy and clearing the whole space around you and affecting everyone in the space.
Well, you know, that is, it's the whole concept, too, is so interesting about information traveling on a wave, you know, that is sort of the quantum science that I've been learning about.
That's right.
And there it is, packaged in a little, of all things, CD.
Yep.
Music. Musical. How beautiful.
And, you know,
it's
music,
really kind
of course,
genius,
by itself
I have to
carries
tell you.
These subtle vibrations and etheric stuff, but then to layer that up with this, with the, you know, scalar frequencies from this device, you really get a whole multidimensional treatment when you listen to it.
I have to say, Randy, I got to tell you that I think it's really cool that you're open-minded enough, being a trained musician, to look into this new, so-called, some might call, new agey ideas. But they aren't really new agey when you really investigate it. It's based on science, and I think that's what makes your music different, is the connection with science and spirit.
Oh, well, thank you. I mean, I really try to explore these concepts and take them really seriously and really, you know, play it out, not just as a thought or a style, but really to, you know, delve into it as much as I can.
Well, let me ask one more question before we move on to the movie, but I have to ask you, do you have a title yet for the new CD with the tuning fork?
Boy, I don't. The book about the planetary tones is called The Cosmic Octave, which is a lovely title for the book. And these planetary tones, I don't. I would welcome suggestions.
Maybe something will come up tonight. Who knows? I just wanted to know because I want to get one.
We'll let you know. It'll be out in the next few months, I think.
That's exciting.
Also,
well, Randy has also got, I told you Ascending Spirals was the soundtrack to Orbs the Veil is Lifting, but actually the soundtrack to Orbs the Veil is Lifting, is name of that CD, is actually called Hidden Worlds. And the music from that CD is actually wonderful for attracting and inviting orbs to your presence. And it's beautiful, too. Absolutely beautiful. Totally different than Ascending Spirals, but absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, it's more traditional music in that, there's flute and harp and guitars and other instruments and, strong themes. And
yes.
It's very much more cinematic and more like a soundtrack for, life. And both of those CDs seem to work very well for bringing orbs in. So your choice.
Well, you know, I use, I think it's track 5 maybe, Invisible Tourist is the title. I used that when I had James Gilead on the show because I thought that was so perfect for him.
Oh, that's bright. That's great.
That's beautiful.
Yeah,
and that was it. People don't understand that title at all, but that is, in fact, the inspiration for the title, is discovering orbs and being at James's ranch and all the phenomenon that are going on there. And so that was my sort of tribute to that, where I didn't really explain why we called it Invisible Tourists, but I did.
Well, I picked it up, and it has such a sweet little hidden message to it, you know? I love that title, and I try to use that track whenever I can, whether I'm teaching or on the radio or anywhere, because it is kind of almost like a secret handshake, you might say. it's really kind of neat that you didn't explain it. I like that.
Yeah.
Well, Karen, it's all about vibration. I mean, music is what we're all learning more and more, is that everything is vibration. And
yes,
music
everything is. We are.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
we
right.
are. You know, I wanted to tell everyone, in case they haven't seen Orbs the Veil is Lifting, that this movie is so well designed. And what Hope and Randy did was gather about 9 people together from all forms of thought, clergy, physicists, healers, psychologists, scientists, and didn't put out any parameters as to what they were to say or how they were to discuss their experiences with these orb lights, and purposefully not putting out any particular outcome, just open-ended discussion. But what was surprising about it, wasn't it, Hope and Randy, that the conclusions turned out to be the same. That is, Hope and Randy found that the conclusion was orbs are conscious beings.
Right.
Isn't that so cool?
It's very cool. It was quite amazing to interview, like you were saying, there are nine people, including Randy and I, in the movie, of such different backgrounds and different approaches. But after you do research in this and work with the orbs for a period of time, there's no doubt but that there's consciousness involved.
And you
know,
guys have a lot of documentation of orbs. But I wanted to ask you first, before we go into that, how you two personally discovered orbs and how it changed your perception of reality, if it did, and I'm sure it did.
Oh, absolutely. Well, we discovered them at James's, talking about James Gilliland. We went to James's ranch at East City, sought the sanctuary, which is at the base of Mount Adams in Washington State, to see if we could see a UFO. We always thought we're probably not the only life in the universe, but we had never seen anything to prove otherwise. So we went there to do music. I also write songs, and we had a band that we had put together. So we went there to entertain a group of people. He was having a conference. And while we were there, aside from seeing things in the sky that were definitely UFOs, we also discovered orbs. And as a photographer, I was just amazed because, like I say in the movie, I'm used to making a composition, seeing what I'm going to have, and snapping the picture. And suddenly I was creating interdimensional art where I wasn't the only one creating the composition. Suddenly these light beings were joining in. And from that, I have, what did you say, one of those inquiring minds that just want to know. So
yes.
Yeah. So we took our two boys back to Safa, because at that time we thought that they were at Safa because of all the energy, because at James's, because of the UFO action and the Mount Adams, and that we thought that was a very special sacred place. But at that point,
he does have a lot of orbs.
And he does have a lot of orbs, absolutely. At that point, we didn't realize that orbs were everywhere and that you can cultivate an area. And that's what as you say, you've done a lot in your own backyard. I mean, we've done a lot here in the woods. We realize now that it's really about bringing in higher vibrations, bringing out love, joy, bliss, music, and these are all attractors for the orbs.
Well, you know, once you really delve into this and you research it a little bit, and Michal Ledwith has a wonderful book out about orbs that is explains really thoroughly how to tell what is an orb and what isn't an orb. It's very scientifically based. And once you delve into this and you actually grab on to the fact that it is not a camera anomaly, it really exists. And once you get that, then your perception of how things work almost has to change, doesn't it?
It does. And that's the second part of your question in terms of what that did to our reality. It really opened it up. Randy and I have been spiritual seekers since we were teenagers. But, you know, the teachers that we've had or the books that we've read, people share what they know. You can't share what you don't know. And this is such a new phenomenon that's come into, not that it's new, but it coming into people's consciousness. The digital cameras, because they get more of the light spectrum than regular cameras and more of the light spectrum than our eyes can take in, suddenly
more than our eyes are trained to take in, because we can train our eyes to actually take the
yes, absolutely, right. And so what it does then, and also with realizing that indeed we are not alone in terms of the whole UFO phenomenon, I mean, that's very clear to us now that it's just a matter of time before contact is made in a big way. And so then it's like we're all children again. You know, we're all children just excited for the joy of being alive and what we might find next, because you just don't know.
It seems that being in the presence of the orbs, as Randy described it, as the same feeling you have in a blissful moment of meditation or when the sunset comes. You know, when the orbs arrive, it feels like that. And what I was surprised to, you know, very often today, people that are into spirituality, you know, have the idea that, you kind of have to be serious and focused, and it has to be kind of intense, et cetera, in order to be deep and, you know.
Right.
But I've always known, since I was a kid, and I still believe this, that spirituality, or my concept of it, is really kind of chaotic and messy and joyful and awesome, because it is that way. It's really loose, and you can color outside the lines, and that's how the orbs feel.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I love some of your stories, too, since we've gotten to know you a little bit, about since you've shared our movie with people and people going out and photographing afterwards. I mean, I know what we experienced, but it was really fun to hear back from you about some of the people that you wouldn't expect to be excited about the orbs being really excited about them.
Well, you know, all you have to do if you want to show orbs to other people, and I was like Hope said she was, an orb missionary, you know. Once
right.
you see this on film, it's like, oh, my God, this is another dimension on film.
Right.
We really are seeing another dimension.
Right.
And, you know, your head spins from it. You just, it's mind-blowing in a way.
Right. Well,
I was just going to say that all I had to do, rather than try to explain it, you know, blah, 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 was show them your movie.
Uh-huh.
And bingo,
right.
It worked. They understood it. Because they went out directly afterwards with their camera, and this is one of my favorite little stories, I'll make it short, but we had I had a friend who's a homicide detective, and he had a new camera, and he watched the movie, and he's just opening up to these sort of things. He went out with his camera, and he started, you know, click, click, clicking, and I'm hearing him over there in the dark saying, oh, I got one. Oh, my God, I got another one. Oh, my God, there's a whole shower of them. And I'm thinking, oh, I hope he's really getting orbs. You know, I didn't know. And we went back in the house, and we put his, you know, his chip in the computer, and, oh, my gosh, surely enough, the orbs came to him so beautiful. And there's this big, tough homicide cop like a little kid.
That's
you know, that is
great.
That is awesome. Don't you just love that?
I do. I love turning people on to the experience. It's such a wonderful opening. We were just in Mexico a couple weeks ago showing the orb film at a conference where there were 500 people and healing, vibrational people who were into the Skio machine, vibrational healing people. And it was so amazing because at the orb conferences, of course, everyone knows about orbs, but to be there with hundreds of people who didn't know about them and suddenly to find out about them, the rest of the week of the conference, people were photographing on the beach and laughing and just having so much fun with it.
I got to tell you now, that's a party.
Yeah.
That's really a party. That is so much fun. That had to be a blast.
It was great. And what if these people were prime? Here they're using, quantum technology in their practice because they own this amazing device. And so for people that are completely open to these other dimensions, and yet, you know, if they hadn't heard of orbs, it was just such a light bulb for them. It was so neat.
Oh, yes. I love it. I just love it. And, you know, those kind of people that are already experimenting with dimensional stuff and other realms, et cetera, you know, in my work, I'm a psychic medium, and I've seen orbs my whole life, and I've seen them in my home, around my animals, and around my clients, and I thought, well, those are so beautiful, those energies, and I assumed they were here to help, and they felt very benevolent and loving, but I didn't understand the whole story until you guys. So you guys really fill in the gap for people that don't know anything about orbs and also people that are working, you know, dimensional work or energy work. You know, many of us don't really get it. You know, the movie is beautiful.
We're all learning together. I mean, I love that people see the movie and then they have this information, but truly, there's so much more to know. I mean, Randy and I are doing constant research, and the fact that now a lot of people are starting to get them on video is also a statement to us that, again, that the veil between dimensions is lifting.
Oh, yeah. you know, part of, I think, what's so important about your work, in my opinion, is that, you know, more is coming. This is just the beginning.
Right.
And it is valid and very pertinent information for the very, you know, near future, just around the corner.
Right.
And I had a question before I forget. One of my listeners from the last time you guys were on the show wanted me to ask you if there was any significance between the orb phenomena and the Mayan prophecy of the year 2012.
Well, we think so. We really believe that as we head towards 2012, I mean, the Mayans, for those of you who don't know, the Mayan calendar, which is one of the most precise calendars, or the most ever created, ends in December 21st, 2012, and that it's not the end of time, but it's probably the end of time as we know it because of this shift that's going on. And we feel that the orbs are a visual representation of this shift. And part of why we made the movie and part of what goes on with us is really wanting to educate people about this so that they can greet the changes with love and not fear.
Oh, exactly. And for those that are really, this is a whole, there may be some listeners that this is a completely new topic to them. Could you guys describe what you believe orbs really are? I know they're spheres of light, and we've described that, but what do you think they really are?
Well, we really do believe they're conscious entities, and I think some of them are elemental beings, like what we call fairies and gnomes, elves, and historically, and certainly if you look in history, people see fairies as little beings, but they also see them as spheres of light in the forest and that sort of thing, and often angelic visitations, people will describe the angelic beings coming in being preceded or accompanied by spheres of light, coming out of spheres of light, unfolding out of spheres of light. So I think they can be very advanced spiritual beings, angels and archangels, and I think they can probably be benevolent and evolved extraterrestrials as well that are able to use this primal energy form to for soul travel. You know, at the Ramta school, they do remote viewing exercises, and the number of students that successfully remote view an object equals the number of orbs that appear in the room when the object is unveiled. So they're feeling that the orbs in that case are the consciousness of the students. Astral traveling to remote view the location.
I've seen some of those photographs you're talking about, and the school has really compiled quite a bit of amazing phenomena of orb phenomena and other activities that are going on. So this is a pretty amazing, sweeping, interesting time to live in.
Absolutely.
You know, there's a lot of study going on and evidence and documentation that's just coming up naturally from people exploring, you know, with their cameras and finding out about this. And many of the shots that are posted on the Ramta website are from students from around the world, not necessarily even at the school, but in other locations.
Right.
And, the photography is impressive, but it's even more impressive when you take your camera out and you give it a try, and you see the back lens of your camera light up.
Absolutely.
That's when it to really hit you.
And that's when the feeling, it really does click, because you get this sense of the energy just changing, and then suddenly the picture's full of orbs. Like, I first realized I was sensitive to it. I didn't feel them come in. I'd feel them leave. We'd be photographing, and there'd be orbs everywhere, and then something would change. It'd just feel kind of flat, and then I'd realize, oh, that was when there were no orbs in the picture suddenly.
You say one time before that you felt like the orbs helped you to have more confidence in your own intuitive knowing?
Absolutely, because it helped me learn to really trust some of my own intuition, which I tend to be a little skeptical and, you know, just a little bit doubting of impressions and things that come. And, of course, when you can take a picture and verify, I go, oh, that feels like there's orbs. Click. Oh, yes, there's orbs. Or, wow, there's all this energy that's, flowing up my spine and out the top of my head. And then you see a picture where there's all this energy coming out the top of my head. These things really, really made me realize.
happens for everyone who gets involved with this and takes the pictures. And so many of us, I mean, have felt other beings. Most people are not as fortunate or as sensitive as you are that they can see, have seen them since they were a child, you know.
Yeah.
So a lot of people have felt, though, that there's some other energy out there, be it, you know, fairies or elementals or whatever, something else.
Other guides.
Their guides. And now to be able to see these orbs, a lot of people are going, you know, yes, you know, I was right. I did really sense something, and it really validates their intuitive reality.
Well, you know, I really believe that all of us, you know, have intuition. I just happen to have a particular ability that's more public, but we all come as divine beings to this plane with the ability, enough ability, to make it back home. And so when we're out there, I bet almost everybody, if they really took the time to think back, has had a sense of a loving presence around them at least once in their life, probably much more than that. But we do have awareness, and it is something that we, you know, we don't see it validated the way we do with the camera in the orb fashion. That's so loving that the orbs are appearing, because what it teaches us is so beautiful, and it is so empowering to us to realize that, you know, that we do indeed know when there's something there that we don't see with our eyes.
Right. That's right.
And we do all these impressions.
In fact, something I heard mentioned in the movie was that our eyes really do see everything like a camera lens, and they actually do see the orbs, but it's the brain that filters out that information, because the brain is interested in information like daily things like meals and work and paying the mortgage. And I think Miha said in one of his books I read that, you know, he took, I don't know, 150,000 pictures of orbs or something in his study of it. Amazing photographs, amazing. And he was sitting in the porch one day without the camera, and he turned to go in, and he saw this big blue ball rise up over the horizon, and he went back on in the house, and then he stopped cold and said, "Wait a minute, I just saw an orb without a camera."
That's right.
So it's really kind of natural, the training that comes with that. So I find that very exciting. And Joan Ocean in your movie also described, like, in her dolphin work, she takes groups to the water's edge to see the dolphins, and she sees them coming in, and she sees them swimming toward the shore, and they insist they cannot see them.
Right.
It's so interesting, because, you know, our brain is filtering, and that can change.
That's right.
That can change. So I just think it's so exciting that anyone can see them with a camera or without a camera.
Yes, we are seeing, you know, as we do this work, more and more we see them without the camera. But also, for people out there who are just starting to experiment with this, definitely have your flash on. Even if it's better to do it at night, but you can do it in the day. But do make sure, night or day, that you have your flash on, because
the flash needs to charge them up. Or
illuminates. It sort of illuminates the...
Yeah, even in bright daylight, though, it still helps them be visible for some reason.
Right. And since at night, you know, you can't really look through your viewfinder when it's totally blackout, so what I do a lot is I shoot from my hip, or, you know, I look over the camera, and then a lot of times if you do that, when the flash goes off about 2 feet in front of your camera, if there's a lot of psychic energy or a lot of orb energy, you'll see these little sparkles. We call that fairy dust. And sometimes we'll see orbs. When
you're sort of further out, 10, 20 feet in front of the camera, you'll see actual orbs in the air as well.
But with to do that, to start to train your naked eye, if you don't look through the camera but look over the camera.
I started to notice that after a few weeks of going out there with the camera, and I thought that was so fascinating. In fact, sometimes I would shoot like you did and look over the camera, and when the flash went off, there would be a sphere of light or something so close to me that I almost dropped the camera. You know, it just takes your breath away.
It can be really spectacular.
Oh, it is. It's so amazing. Now, do you have any suggestions for first-timers when they're going out to see what they can see with their digital camera, as far as being, you know, being able to actually capture an orb on film?
Yes. When you do your orb quest, there's certain things, especially when you're first starting, we recommend going with other people, because bringing in energy and sharing the joy will tend to bring them in. And then, because it's really about conditioning a space, they come, it's a when they get used to it, or when their state, when the space has been conditioned. So we say to go to a church or a temple, a mosque, or a special place in the forest, or a garden somewhere, somewhere where there's been loving energy over a period of time. And of course, you can create that in your own backyard just by going to the same place again and again and again. But when you're first starting, to go to a place where there's already been a lot of energy. And a lot of photographers are starting to get them on their cameras at weddings and birthday parties and places, because, again, because of all the loving, joyous energy. And then, again, about music, to lift the spirit. So if you can play an instrument, or if you just sing. Karen, you remember when we were in Palm Springs at the conference, we all sang Row, Row, Row Your Boat. And just giggled,
that
you know.
Was
so
fun.
Yes, exactly, fun. So not to be serious, but just to have fun with it.
The only attempts I've ever heard of were people that were very formal and serious.
Oh, don't you know it? You know, I live here in Arizona, so I've seen quite a bit of, particularly in, I would say, Sedona area, a lot of very serious intention where, you know, people come to the spots that are considered, you know, really spiritually strong vortexes or whatever, and they bring, a bunch of paraphernalia, and they have to sit in certain really rigid postures, and they can't speak to anybody, and it's all very serious and very woo-woo and very see me, dig me, I'm so spiritual, you know. But I find that the sillier you are, the more natural it is. As you said, you guys both say they're, you know, naturally attracted to children and animals. And if you just stand there, I've done this before, in my orb parties we do it too, we just stand there and think of something loving.
Yes.
And it just happens. It's
right.
Not really that hard, as long as you're lighthearted about it. James Gilead said when he was on the show last time that once up at Mount Adams on his property, they were out there one night and they had about 16 acres full of orb lights at night in the sky, just full, beautiful.
Oh, beautiful. Uh-huh.
So gorgeous. And some young Native American fellow was there, and he got into his ego, and he said, if you guys want to see orbs, look at this, and he started to do a Native American chant, and James said, instantly they were gone. There wasn't an orb to be seen. I thought that was such a cool story because he stepped into his ego, and they're not interested in that male ego energy. They're more interested in the divine feminine, children, you know, animals that are present in the moment. So, you know, it isn't hard to attract them. The first time I went out to take pictures, I ran out the door in my PJs and just said, hello, you beautiful orbs. I'm so happy to see you. I know you're there, you know, and click, 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 there they are. And I have nights when I don't get any, and usually when I go to an orb party, I don't get very many, but I don't care. I want my people that haven't done it before to have them.
Yeah.
You know, so it's even more fun to see someone else succeed and get actual clear, visible orbs. Now, could you guys describe a little bit about what an orb looks like? I know they don't look the same, but maybe just an easy description for people that haven't seen one before.
Balls of light. I mean, basically balls of light. They come in many colors, though mostly they're white.
But golden and pink and green and blue also. And they can be very dense or very translucent, very pale and translucent, or very, very dense.
And isn't there a difference from camera to camera sometimes? How many or what kind?
But even any given camera, even one camera will get many different types. Sometimes they look like light bulbs where they're just a light. A lot of times they have a great interior patterns and details where they almost look like mandalas or symbols or the Mayan calendar, some of them look like.
People also see faces in them.
Yes, I've heard that.
Yes, we didn't get into that in the film because we consider this to be Orbs 101, and we didn't want to put things that seem too fantastic or make people have to question too much. But I can absolutely say in some of our own photographs and some of the ones that Jay-Z has, Jay-Z Knight and her group and many other people, there are distinct faces that can be seen in the orbs.
And in some cases, the same face that will appear on, you know, repeated nights, obviously the same orb with the same face in it.
Oh, my goodness, that's so interesting. That brings to mind a photograph I saw from the school. And it was a wedding picture out at the School of Enlightenment. And and there was behind the couple that was getting married, they were so beautiful together, and she had a garland of flowers in her hair, and, you know, those moments are precious. And behind them was an orb up in the sky with a face in it, and the face and the orb really looked like a baby.
Right, and they compared it with the baby when it was born, and it looked so much like the baby that they had later, too.
It's just there's no limit to what you can find out with this phenomenon and what you will begin to see. And I want to encourage people to try taking pictures, you know, as soon as possible with your camera. While we're talking about it, it gets your vibration up and makes it, I believe, easier. And
yes,
it is there, you know, don't have any preconceived ideas. Just go out there and shoot. And as Hope has often said, even if you were not to catch any pictures of orbs the first time, it doesn't mean that they're not around you.
Absolutely.
You know, they can be present. And it doesn't take at any time at all to begin to know really what is an orb and what isn't. You know, you might think, well, it's, you know, you have to decipher if this is or isn't. I thought that when I started. But it happens very quickly. You just know. Once you've seen one, you know that's an orb, don't you?
That's right.
Yeah.
And also what you're saying with the digital cameras, there's no film cost. So, you know, shoot 80 pictures, shoot 100 pictures, just keep at it.
Absolutely. Just, you know, and I find when I started out, I would look through the, you know, try to look through the camera like I did, like I like to fool around with photography. You know, Hope is an actual professional photographer, so she, you know, she knows much more about photography as an art form. But, you know, when I did it out of habit, I would try to look through the camera, and then I realized pretty quickly it's much easier, at least to me and to a lot of other people, to just sort of shoot where you feel like there might be something.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
And Hope also suggested that you shoot upwards, right, Hope? More
yes,
towards the sky?
Yes, they do seem to descend from up above. So to try to get, if there are people in the picture, try to get the people and whatever is above them and not to get too much ground in front of them.
It's a little bit different way to use the camera, but very easy to do.
Yes, and you know what we're saying about 2012 and these changes, that the shift that we're in, we feel that, you know, okay, well, great, we're in the shift, what do we do? And
mm-hmm.
what we do is we raise our vibration. In the same way that the Earth is raising her vibration right now, we are holographic images of the Earth, and we need to stay in balance energetically with the Earth. And so raising our vibration, that is key. And that's kind of the work, and that's what Randy and I feel like. And how do we do that? We do that through music. You do it through eating well and drinking enough pure water and running joy through your body. Also, I tell people to, you know, dancing is wonderful when you're trying to get warm.
Yes.
Or holding your body, you know, reaching your arms towards the sky and just running energy through your body, because the body is an amazing vehicle, and it you know, we can run an enormous amount of energy through our bodies, and then we become antennas, if you will.
Yes, that's a perfect way to describe it. That's a perfect way to describe it. I know some of the best pictures I've ever taken of orbs were when something happened that made me laugh,
uh-huh.
you know, and I would
yeah.
just be out there by myself laughing, and I would have these great shots. It's
yeah.
the joyous feeling of laughter.
That's right, which
and, you
is
know,
a very high vibration.
Yes, it is. Many people don't realize. That's why I like to say I see spirituality as chaotic and joyful and even a little bit messy, which is okay, you know, because, you know, high vibration is connected not just with, you know, intense disciplines, but laughing, music, dancing, singing, even bad singing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I can attest to that. It's just the use of your voice without any, you know, self-consciousness. And I want to share with you, because I don't want to forget this, that last time when I spoke with Randy, we did our, you know, our interview last time on the show, I had the most amazing thing. I had to think about this for a while to really, you know, decide if it really happened or not. But we just talk like we're talking now, you know, Randy and I. Hope was there but wasn't feeling well. So afterwards, during the show and afterwards, my feet and my hands were incredibly hot.
Wow.
And My face was kind of flushed, and, you know, I'm middle-aged, and I thought, well, maybe it's just a, you know, hot flash or something. But it hung around. My husband even noticed it. I didn't mention it, but he noticed it. It hung around for a couple of days, which I happened to be on my way to the Orb conference where you guys were in California. And it was, I found it most interesting that my hands and feet stayed hot, and the other interesting thing was that my I started feeling these little, it felt like drops of moisture. They were very subtle, on my shoulders and on my head, inside the house and in the car. So what I'm trying to tell you is that I think you guys must have a really rocking, good, happy, high vibration.
That's very interesting. Thank you for sharing that with us. Just running energy. That's what you're doing. You're just running your energy through your body in a very serious way.
Well, fun. It's never, the whole thing never ceases to amaze me. Oh.
I'm here.
Did we get cut off?
And we're back. It's Karen Tallcat Conley again. You know, Hope and Randy, I've been talking to you two about the your movie Orbs of Veil is Lifting, and I had to go there and talk about your high vibration and how it affected me the last time we talked, and I guess I knocked out the system, or you did. We absolutely got cut off, and I guess I now have a blooper addition to the BBS radio.
That was good. Well, that was my joke, you know, that the high vibration may or may not help the audio, right? I guess.
Yes, you absolutely predicted it. That's okay. We're back, and I'm glad we are, because I wanted to. I had a couple more things I wanted to say to you, and I don't have someone behind me, so they reconnected us. Yay! It's a good thing. And I won't go back to what we were discussing, except to say that just speaking with the two of you, as well as your movie, which has your beautiful artistic energy all over it, is really uplifting and leaves you feeling changed in some way. That's why I connect your movie with the same outcome of the movie What the Bleep. You know, one of those unusual creations that is non-Hollywood and completely independent, that has enough real content of, you know, real true spirituality that it shifts consciousness. So you should
be flattered
to work.
That is really what we're trying to do, and so it's so wonderful that that's what you get from it.
I truly believe it, and I believe that's what the reaction of it is going to be. Now, you guys are traveling around quite a bit. Speaking about the movie, do you have an event coming up that you might want to mention?
Well, there's the Human Fairy Congress, actually, which it's going to be in June in Washington State, in the Cascade Mountains. And
beautiful.
We've heard about it for years, and this is actually the first year that we're actually going to it.
And presenting, yes.
So, presenting.
They've gotten orbs there for a long time, because that's what it's all about, the human fairy connection. So there, some very interesting people will be speaking there, and people are going to be camping in the mountains, and that should be quite a fun event.
And then
tell me again what the
Congress.
And what's the date again?
It's in June. If you go to our site, we're just putting that information up now about the date.
Oh, good.
In June.
Okay. Well, I encourage you to check out Hope and Randy's site, because through the site you can see not only beautiful pictures of orbs, but view a trailer of Orbs the Veil is Lifting, which will absolutely convince you want to see the full-length movie. It is a movie as well that you will enjoy watching again and again and then sharing with your friends. It's just that kind of a awesome movie. Beautiful music and beautiful artistic design to it. One of my friends, I loaned her the movie, and she said, "My gosh, Karen, everybody in it is so well-spoken." You know, and she was the friend that I spoke with some time ago about orbs, and she said, "Oh, I'm really not that interested." I said, "Why is that?" She said, "Well," and she said, "she thought it was basically a bunch of dead people or deceased beings."
Oh.
You know, and she said that kind of, you know, scares me.
Ghost hunters have been getting them for a long time, when they go into cemeteries and whatever, quote, spooky places. And so I think they've actually given orbs a bad rap, because there's nothing really spooky about orbs at all.
Well, my friend that didn't like the spooky factor, once she watched the opportunity came in a really neat way for her to see the film, and she called me the next day so excited. She said, "Oh my gosh," she said, "I have to apologize. I had no idea what you were talking about. This is so awesome. Look at my pictures. I sent them to you." So happy. She said, "Oh my God, it's real." And she said, when I left the location of the showing, I had to stop by where my horses are turned out in the pasture, and I took pictures there, and "Wait till you see those." And she was just completely turned around.
Oh, that's wonderful.
You know, it is part of the awakening. It truly is.
Yes. And we're also going to be speaking this summer over 4th of July weekend. We'll be at James Gilliland's place.
Oh, wonderful.
In Trail Lake, Washington, which will also be another camping event, and Michal Ledwith will be there, and some just really Brooks Agnew, and that should be a very exciting event.
Oh, it absolutely would be. I know that location where James is, his land, and the mountain, Mount Adams, there is an actual UFO hotspot, you know, with documentation from all kinds of muckety mucks and that aren't even spiritual.
No, muckety mucks as well as Native Americans. The Native Americans have seen ships around Mount Adams
for hundreds of years.
My goodness, don't we live in an exciting time?
We sure do.
I mean, we really do. I can't think of a better time to have incarnated on this plane than right now.
Yes, it's very exciting. It's sometimes a little confusing and stressful, but very exciting.
Yes, it is very confusing and stressful, just from the circumstances of the times, but also the expansive shifts we're all experiencing in our concept of what reality is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it rattles your cage sometimes momentarily to understand that there's something coexisting alongside us in another dimension.
And I wonder, Karen, if the masses of the world everyone would go out with their digital cameras around the world, and this would be an acknowledged reality. Think about what a different world it would be.
And I think that's what's coming. I really think that's what's on its way. The simplicity of this, the accessible technology. Everybody can get a digital camera. It doesn't have to be expensive. Doesn't have to be fancy. I understand it can even be a throwaway digital.
Yep.
You can still capture these forms. And you know, it is such a beautiful possibility that everybody has access to this. You don't have to be a mystic. You don't have to fast for 40 days. You don't have to even be psychic. You don't even have to have much intuition. You just have to be a divine being, a person with a digital camera. And you can experience an understanding of what dimensional life really is, and that it is really there. And then a whole bunch of questions come up that are really fun.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being on the air. You know I always love talking to the two of you.
Well, it's wonderful to talk with you, too. We're getting to be old friends here.
Yeah, I feel like I've known you forever. And I want to stay in touch with you and have you on the show from time to time, because the last time I did, and I know it'll be this way as well, I always get wonderful commentary from the listeners.
Oh,
and,
great.
Exciting commentary as I said before, the awakening happening. They're sending me pictures of their first pictures of their first orbs, That's the best.
That's so neat.
And, it's thanks to you guys.
Well,
go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, we're just doing our part. I mean, we feel that part of our life's path and this lifetime is to help with this shift, to help with this awakening process, and hopefully, and it's from you. I hear that that's happening. That the Orb movie is waking people up, and that's what we're here to do.
Oh,
gratifying!
Yeah.
It definitely is, and it doesn't matter what the belief system of the person is. I've introduced, in fact, most of the people that I have introduced your movie to are not in the metaphysical movement or considered New Age thinkers or anything like that. They are more traditional, conservative, regular people. Isn't that interesting? And they accept it. I think that's
exciting to
reach something.
Those people. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It sure is. Well, I want to thank you so much, and we will remain in touch. I want one more thing. You guys will be at the Human Fairy Congress in June in Washington State, and July 4th. At Mount Adams with James Gilliland and Michal Ledwith. That should be an amazing event. And before I go, I want to remind the listeners that I'm about to make a move. I'm going to go to Station 1 beginning this coming Monday, May 26th, at 6 p.m. PDT. So just look on Station 1 at 6 p.m. for Tall Cat Psychic 101. I'll be alternating every week with Galexis, who's an amazing, beautiful channeler. So I'll look for you on Mondays at 6, and that's all for now. I'm sending you out with the music from Ascending Spirals. That should even you out beautifully after our disconnect. And Hope and Randy, I love you, and I will speak with you soon.
Thanks so much.
Many blessings. Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.